Isaiah chapter 40, verses 21 to 31. Page 724 if you have a church pew Bible. Isaiah 40, verse 21. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither. And a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And then the second reading is from Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42, page 1042, at the home of Martha and Mary. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Oh, tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Let's just pray as Andrew comes to speak. Lord, speak into Andrew's heart and through him to our hearts and lives. For Jesus' sake, amen.
I've titled my talk, Waiting Upon the Lord. A lot of it is about waiting, and it was quite interesting this morning, really. I've been at Alden, and we were a minute or so late, and they waited for us. But actually, you know, when you're sort of preparing something, you're probably meditating in your mind, even if you're not subconscious. Because last night, I actually had quite a vivid dream. And I thought that I'd got up normally, but somehow had never got to Aldham. And I was really upset and worried about it. And I was thinking, if that had happened, I don't know how long they'd have waited for. But, you know, you don't know about these things. And before the service today, Mark played one of my favourite songs, and it's called Strength Will Rise, We Wait Upon the Lord. And the chorus includes, you do not faint, you won't grow weary, you're the defender of the weak, you comfort those in need, you lift us up on wings like eagles. I was one of those really annoying motorists about 15 years ago. I was returning to the office, and I had my radio, sound system in the car, full blast. And yours truly was singing his heart out as loud as possible at the volume. So anybody queuing up to the roundabout top of Balkan Hill might have been a bit annoyed by it. But it was, the words in it have such powerful imagery of us being in line with God and being lifted into a different sort of level. Because when you see a bird like an eagle or any of those birds of prey just hovering in the sky, apart with no real effort at all, and you just think, well, that's just such a beauty and grace about it. It has a poetic feeling. And because obviously everything from that angle is totally different. It looks different perspective. And, you know, waiting is something that we should be doing some of the time. I mean, when you're praying and want to pray about an issue or something, often it's a question of just waiting for a few moments to know what God lays on your heart as to how to pray and who to pray for. And there are times when we've got really big, important decisions to take. And often the thing to do is to pray about it and to leave it. And if you're still of the same opinion, perhaps a day or two later, well, that's probably the thing to do. But you may well find that on that reflection and just handing it over, that your view as to what you should do and how you should do it has changed. But our story today is about the people who have been taken into exile by the Babylonians. And they were really in a very bad place. They'd been captives for 70 years. Now, the elite were probably in relative comfort in Babylon itself. But the majority of people were scattered out on the plains, and they were effectively in labour camps. Not a very nice situation. And also, you know, most of them had not any first-hand experience of the homeland. Most of them who'd grown up in Jerusalem or thereabouts would have died. And there they were, 500 miles from home. Jerusalem, far as they'd heard, was in ruins. Other buildings had been burnt. And they really considered their exile to be a sign of punishment for the things that they had not done right, the way they'd turned away from God. But now, a new ruler was actually punishing them for doing what was right for their religious beliefs. And they were in a situation where they thought that either God didn't care for them or couldn't do anything about it. He was powerless. After all, they had these big, oppressive Babylonians who had a big empire controlling them. How could he get through? How could he do it? And this chapter, the whole chapter, is entitled Comfort for God's People. And our reading starts by challenging their perspective of who God is. And it's got these wonderful words at the beginning, you know, do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood? You know, are you an idiot or something? You know, that's what he's really saying. Wake up. And he's before saying, look, your God is the creator of the universe. These oppressive rulers are just like dust. The wind will just blow them away. Don't worry, they will go. You have a God who is beyond comparison. Just look at the skies, look at the stars. The trouble then and now is that many adults' view of God is just too small. The smaller our view, the more likely the weight of our troubles get out of proportion. We should never forget that God is much greater than our problems. You know, whether it's the pressures of looking after a sick relative, loved one, concerns over a medical diagnosis, forthcoming treatment, perhaps an estranged relationship with a family member, financial pressures, difficulties at work, insecurities, whatever. Whatever the problem, God does care and he will help if we ask him. Verse 28 again opens with, do you not know? Have you not heard? And it moves from a reminder of who God is, the everlasting God, the creator of the universe, not growing tired or weary, for expressing a deep understanding to what God actually does and can do, giving strength to the weary, power to the weak, and also reminding the reader and the listener that even the young will grow tired and stumble. You know, I don't know about you, but when we are tired, everything becomes much harder. Whether it be doing the chores around the house, doing bits for the family, or whatever. And I'm sure you don't do it. You never get irritable when you get tired, do you?
No,
just ask those nearest to you. We all probably do, to be honest with you. We can get a bit short. You know, it's just how it is. But in the final verse of the chapter, we have these wonderful words, but those who wait on the Lord. You know, in some translations, it says, hope on the Lord. And it goes on to say, will renew their strength. Now, this business about having waiting and resting is a constant theme throughout the Bible. And it's resting rather than working harder and instead focusing on God. In the creation story, God rested on the seventh day. In the Exodus story, it was to enter God's rest in the promised land. A few chapters later in Isaiah, to know the word that sustains the weary. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are burdened, and I will give you rest. In the letter to the Hebrews, it writes, for anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work. And it also says, fix our eyes on Jesus so that you do not grow weary and lose heart. Now, our second reading from the Gospel is very familiar. Martha, I suspect, was probably the older sister, the one who organised everything. And she asks Jesus and his disciples into the house. Well, in that culture, inviting somebody in was more than a cup of tea. It was giving them a proper meal. So being a good host, she gets stuck in. And I don't know about you, but I feel a bit of sympathy for her because I just imagine her rushing around, working hard, and a younger sister is just sitting over there doing what she thinks is doing nothing. You know, you might feel a bit, you can understand. I thought, well, I can understand it anyway. But, and then she probably feels a bit hurt slightly that Jesus doesn't actually say, yes, Mary, go and give your sister a hand. But he says, look, you're doing the best thing. Now, we don't know what the effect on Mary was, how much it changed her life. We don't know how much, because of that change, she impacted beneficially for others. We just don't know. But the fact that it's recorded in the Gospel, you just think maybe there was something there. Maybe something really did change in Mary that transformed her. We don't know. But today, waiting is a bit countercultural, isn't it? You know, it's fast food. If you can't answer a problem, you look it on your phone on Google. You know, you want to speak to somebody. Well, you've got emails, you've got phones wherever you are, video calls on Zoom or WhatsApp, whatever it happens to be. And unlike some here, you know, when a few generations ago, if you were expecting a child, they wouldn't tell you what it was even when they knew. You know, I remember before Ben was born, Joy had to have an X-ray about a week before he was born because she was over. And they wouldn't tell us. They wouldn't say, well, you got a boy or a girl. Now, nobody waits for anything. You know, after all, you have Amazon deliveries the next day. You know, whatever. But what is the message for us this morning? Waiting is not a matter of being totally idle, but instead using the space to refocus our minds and hearts. You know, it's finding time for meaningful prayer. It's by filling our mind with the truth about God's character, from regular reading of the Bible, reflecting on it, especially where it relates to our own situation. As Paul wrote, it's setting our minds on things above, not on earthly things. You know, it's standing firm. If you've had a word put on your heart, a promise from God, stand firm on it. You know, situations still might be difficult, but stand firm. You know, don't waver. God will keep that promise. You know, that has sustained me on a number of occasions, and I'd urge you to do the same. Waiting on God is actually good for us. You know, it reveals our true motives. It's not about our egos. Waiting can cultivate patience, perseverance, and endurance. As you know, I'm trying to get organised some grants for the work on the tower, and I'm going to need all three of those because it's quite challenging. It really is. Waiting builds anticipation. If you've got a child waiting for Christmas, their excitement grows. So when you're waiting to hear God's answer to a prayer or such situation, when it comes through, you'll grow. And it's waiting, it's just important. It's part of our natural faith journey, you know, waiting to hear that voice, answer prayer, even if it's not quite the way you had expected, but that's how it is. Waiting builds our dependency upon God, especially when we're faced or dealing with things which are beyond our new normal human skill set. When sometimes you're thinking, I can't quite do this, you know, it's beyond my strength, I haven't got the ability to that, you know, it builds dependency. You know, it can be transformative in our relationship, but we need to maintain an attitude of hope, and we need to continue serving God. And remember that God's timing is not ours, may not be ours. After all, he is sovereign over everything. And the reading closes with the promise that those who have waited will renew their strength and soar on wing like eagles. Now, eagles up there can see the big picture. We can't down here. Up there in the sky, you can see where the bends are, what's around the corner. If we are soaring with God, we're more likely to be in line with his thinking and humbly depend on him. And we'll have more of his spirit instilling a deeper inner motivation and energy to serve where God has placed us. Now, we are actually approaching a waiting room. We know that within 12 months or whenever, Ian's going to retire. And we don't know how long we'll have to wait for a replacement for him. We have no idea. What we do know is it's going to be quite a lot of extra work for some of us. And we were likely to get physically tired. But what we mustn't do is get spiritually tired. We need to be strong. We all need to have wisdom, discernment, patience, grace. We all need all of that. And my prayer is that individually and collectively, we increase our focus on God and Jesus, and we strengthen our relationship and allow the Holy Spirit to lift us up and to guide us on the road ahead. Amen.
Thank you, Andrew. Waiting on the Lord.